Hi, everyone. This is Scott with Blockcast, tuning in today with Bulldog from Splinterlands. I'm so excited to meet you today. Of course, he's a community manager for the project, and it's really an honor to have you on here today to talk with us. Can you tell
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm the community manager with Splinterlands. I got started in blockchain. Splinterlands was actually the first blockchain game that I played about, so it was about April, May of last year. So I've been in a little over a year. I was actually a content creator for a Star Wars game before this, just as kind of a hobby. And actually I made a video that the game company didn't like. So they actually banned me from the game. So after a few years of creating content, had about, I think, like 6,000 subs or something after several years, I got banned and started looking for a new game. I'd spent like $5,000 in that game or whatever, and it was just worth nothing. So the idea of having a blockchain game where that stuff actually had value and I couldn't just be banned like that, everything was actually mine, was pretty appealing. So I came over here and started creating content, and it was just happened to be at just the right time during the bull market. So my channel kind of took off. I'm up to 20,000 subs now. So that was kind of how I got started over here. And then since I, as one of the largest content creators, had a pretty good grasp on the community. So when the community manager job popped up, I applied for that and ended up getting that. So transitioned over here full time. So it's kind of crazy. Like a year and a half ago, I was actually a pharmacist, and now I'm a community manager for a gaming company. So it's been a wild ride. So I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, congratulations. That's amazing. And to play for such a company, like, I've heard huge things about Splinterlands. I believe it's one of the top games right now when it comes to blockchain games as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know as far, I don't have numbers like in front of me, but as far as daily active users, it's depending on how you measure it. In some cases, it's actually the top game. But yeah, it's one of the largest blockchain games out there, and it's still expanding. So
that's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about Splinterlands?
Yeah, so Splinterlands is a trading card game. It's something that I know some of the founders have talked about when they created this. They, like Matt's talked about before, how he was a huge Magic the Gathering fan. But physical cards have limitations, right? You can't just hop online and play somebody with them. Cards get damaged, whatever the case is. So he wanted to kind of bring all the cool things from a game like that and put it online, put it on blockchain, and kind of combine the best of physical card games with digital card games. So it's basically an auto battle, or what it is, where you play very quick battles. So you have, I mean, we have, I think we're up to about 500 cards in Splinterlands. So there's quite a bit out there, but for any given battle, you're given a random battle conditions, and you have to choose a 7-card lineup to play in those, or up to 7-card lineup to play in those battles. So you've got about 2 minutes to decide. You look at the battle conditions, say, okay, this is what I think is going to perform the best. You set that out there, and your opponent's doing the same thing at the same time. And then once both players choose, the battle just runs itself. Doesn't take very long, and it determines a winner. So you can play a lot of battles in this succession. And it's kind of nice. And that was one thing that drew me to it. Those quick battles. Cause I was a pharmacist when I first started. So I wanted something that I could play like during my lunch break or something like that. And a lot of these card games are, I mean, they're fun, but you have 30-minute hour battles, whatever the case are. They're very drawn out. Splinterlands is nice because everything's extremely quick and you can get a battle in 2 minutes.
Oh, wow. So as long as you have a good stack of cards, then you're going to be better against the other person.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly the cards do help, and just having more choices. Like, so we've got so many cards. So it's kind of nice because, okay, if you have, since you're only using 7 at a time, okay, if you go out there and you've got 30 or 40 cards to choose some versus somebody that's got 300 to choose from, I mean, you can still go be competitive with those cards, but maybe in certain situations you might not be able to play the exact, or you just don't have as many options if you don't have as many cards. So expanding your deck does help, but it's not something where, okay, you have to go have all 500 cards if you want to compete. No, it definitely doesn't work like that.
Yeah, for sure. So how would a person that hasn't tried a blockchain game yet, how would they go about finding Splinter Lands or being able to purchase the beginner kind of set or what they need to buy to play the actual game itself?
So Splinter Lands is great because you don't need any blockchain knowledge to get in. You don't even have to have a wallet or anything. And when I started, I didn't have a wallet. I didn't really own any Bitcoin or anything like that. Never done anything. And it's very easy because you can actually, like, you can use a credit card or PayPal or something like that to pay. The first thing you have to do to essentially unlock the game is buy a spell book, which costs $10. And what that's going to do is you don't necessarily see it, but essentially on the back end, it's creating a Hive wallet for you. It is Hive uses what are called resource credits, which is kind of like the Hive version of gas fees. Splinter Lands is going to essentially cover all of those for the player. So the player never has they don't have to know what gas fees are, resource credits or anything like this. Splinter Lands is taking care of all of that in the back end. So it's very nice. So you buy the spell book and then you can go buy cards again, using PayPal or fiat or anything like that. So you don't really ever have to even understand what a wallet or anything like that is. You can just jump in the game and start playing, and it's pretty cool.
That's amazing. And is it, I guess, easy to sign up in that? Do you need very much information? Do they expect you to be KYC'd or anything like that?
You don't need to. I think you, like, there are limits for, like, I know I had to KYC to make some of the larger purchases. Like when I decided early on, I decided to buy a tract and buy large amounts of land and things like that. You don't have to do those to get in. But if you want to make larger purchases, I think they've got limits on like PayPal and that type of thing, just so they don't run into some of the scams and chargebacks and all those issues. But no, you don't have to KYC if you don't want to or that type of thing. It's pretty easy to get in and start playing. I think if you've never played a blockchain game or played an earned game, sometimes there can be a little culture shock getting into these types of games. And I think that's one thing that's a challenge for new players, because typically when you join when you buy an Xbox game or whatever the case, your traditional kind of Web 2 game, you start playing and you see very fast progression at the start, right? You just kind of get flooded with rewards, and they get you sucked in. They give you those dopamine hits with all these rewards and that type of thing. And because everything in Splinter, or virtually everything in Splinter Lands, there are a few exceptions, but most things, like all the main cards that you're using, can be sold on the market or wherever the case is. So they can't just start instantly flooding you with rewards down in the low levels if you're not necessarily putting in investments or putting in lots of time or that type of thing. So it's a little bit different to get started, and it can be challenging because you'll jump in and immediately be facing players that might be even more experienced than you or have some better cards. Because at first you don't necessarily know the strategies or that type of thing. So it can sometimes be a little rough at first. Once you play some battles and kind of get used to things, There are different guides out there recommending which cards to go get started with. And you can go, what's really cool is you can go rent those cards. So this Splinter Lands has a really nice rental system. You don't have to go out and buy a $100 deck or whatever the case is and then say, well, I didn't really like those. I mean, I guess you can always resell it if that's the case, but it's nice because you can spend just a few pennies and go rent decks and then say, okay, well, I rented these cards. This is, I really like this. Now I want to go purchase it. Or no, I didn't really like that. Let's move on and try renting something else until you find what you like. And they can go make some more educated purchases. So that rental system is very nice.
That is. That's awesome. I haven't heard of that, but it's starting to be a thing, but I haven't heard of that lately. I know I've heard discussions of different games that were definitely looking at stuff like that, but I've never seen it implemented yet. So is there a way to earn, like say a legendary or a rare card or anything like that during your gameplay?
So yes, you can. So once you get out of Novice League, which is just your first few battles, and get into Bronze, every ranked battle that you win is going to give you some rewards. You can get SPS, which is the governance token, directly for each battle that you win. And then the more battles you win and the more battles you win at a higher rating, as you climb up, you get points points every day that go towards unlocking reward chests. So after 24 hours, you will then go open up your reward chest, and those chests can contain, they can contain more SPS, or they can, there are certain reward cards that can only be, they're basically earned by players playing the game. That's the way they're distributed. So those can be from your basic common cards up to legendary cards. And that's how those are earned. So their cards come from all different places. Some are just from rewards in battle. Others you can only get from packs or different set packs and those types of things. But yeah, you can absolutely earn cards just by playing the game.
Awesome. And is there in-game tutorials as well that you can go through versus the strategies and stuff you find online?
There is an in-game tutorial, but it's very basic and doesn't necessarily go into a lot of detail. So, I mean, and you can kind of, you can read through and you can play through an initial battle, which will tell you some things. But after going through that, I would highly recommend going out and either finding some videos to watch, or jumping on our Discord and then talking to players, or some players just like jumping in and playing immediately. Just depends on kind of what your play style is. But I would say if you don't necessarily go read through some guides and you just jump in and play right away, you're probably gonna get smoked to begin with. Which is kind of how I learned. I prefer just to be hands-on and jump in and play and just kind of pay attention to why you lost. I'm like, okay, I got beat this way, so this is how this performed. That was a good strategy against me, so maybe I'll try to use that myself next time or whatever the case. But no, it can be tough learning if you just jump in without doing looking through the guides.
That's awesome. And then I guess the next question I have, I heard you talk about the different levels. Could you, do you know what all the different levels are actually for players, like as they progress through the game?
Yeah. So there are different leagues basically. So you start at novice, and again, that's kind of your intro league. And then there's basically bronze, silver, gold, diamond, and champion. And the way it works is that each league has level caps. So you cannot play cards above a certain level in certain leagues. So as an example, bronze league is at the very beginning. Common cards can go up to level 10, but you can't actually play anything above a level 3. If you have a level 10 common card and you're playing at bronze, it's going to automatically get scaled down to level 3. So that way you don't have to, I mean, if you're playing in bronze, you don't have to worry about players coming in and just having maxed out decks that are stronger than you and just beating you down with better decks. So, I mean, there can certainly be better cards and there can be the max level for that league. So those better cards can still help, but there's a limits when you're playing there. And then once you rank up high enough, you can move up to silver, and that will then allow you to upgrade your cards or use higher level cards, whether they're your cards or renting them or whatever the case is. And the higher you rank up, the stronger all the cards get, and they start adding more abilities. So the game gets more complicated the more you rank up and things like that. So it's a nice progression system.
That's awesome. And then I was going to ask you as well. So the ranking system, drawing a blank for half a second, sorry about this. So you have your ranking system, which is great. And then for beginners, you have just the easier league, which is awesome. You have your decks of cards that you can purchase. Oh, and tournaments. I was going to ask you, are you guys running any kind of tournaments at the moment, or is there more planned in the future or something a little bit different planned?
So yes to both of those. So Splinterlands has a pretty cool tournament system. So they have in-game tournament, or like their official tournaments that are run, that are just hosted directly on the website. You just go, you enter the tournament, and there can be two types of tournaments. All the official ones right now are what are called anytime tournaments. So you will be assigned a certain number of players to play, and then those battles can be done over the course of a day of 24 hours, and then the top like 30% or whatever moves to the second round, and you do that all again, and whoever has the best record at the end is the champion. You can also have live tournaments where it's more of a traditional, you face somebody 1v1 and whoever wins moves on to the next round, and you've got a bracket system and things like that. So both of those tournaments are in play. The official tournaments run by Splinterlands, they provide fairly large SPS prize pools for. So like if you look at the white paper for their governance token, a certain amount of that is distributed via tournaments. So it goes to those players at all different leagues. So there's bronze tournaments up to diamond and champion level tournaments. So you've got the official ones, and then anybody can actually go in and create a tournament for Splinterlands. So I've even run some myself, where I've hosted some, or you'll have sponsors that go in and hold these tournaments in order to kind of sponsor whatever product is, or just other players wanting to have fun with the community will go in and they can create their own prize pool, and you can have different entry fees or whatever the case is, or you can make them almost free. I mean, there's technically a charge, but minimum charge is like a tenth of a cent or something. So it's pretty cheap. So yeah, anybody can go in and create tournaments too.
Well, that's awesome. And now I know you're streaming this yourself, and you, we were talking earlier, you mentioned that we might be able to see a little bit of the gameplay just so people can see what it's about and the experience of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can pull up some gameplay here. Oh, did that work? Are you able to see that?
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Sorry, getting used to Zoom here.
No problem.
Okay, so yeah, we'll get in, play a battle here. Now, I'm a fairly high level player, so this is going to be up at Diamond. So you're going to see cards that are, most of the cards I've been playing are going to be maxed out cards. So when you join and first start playing the game, you won't necessarily see all of this, but it will kind of look similar here. So again, these are the random battle conditions. So we have different modifiers here. I won't necessarily go into them too in depth because they won't necessarily mean a whole lot if you're seeing it for the first time, but different battle conditions, mana is how much you can spend. 14 is a very low mana cap. We'll see that each card has a mana number, so it's going to limit how much we can spend. And then these are the three elements that are available. So there's literally like hundreds of thousands of different combinations here. So every single battle is going to be a little bit different. So you have to come in and see which battles you think are going to be the best. And let's go in. I'll see if I can put something together here fairly fast. We're gonna try and choose a cheap little tank there. And
I love the graphics of the cards. They're awesome. Like, really,
again, it's hard to talk through it too much because I've only got a limited amount of time here, but let's do, and we'll try to get a little bit of a healer in here. Oh wait, I've already got my healer. Okay. And gonna have some throwaway cards there. Okay, and we'll see if this is enough. So again, that was choosing the team, and at this point the battle's already done. So I put my cards in the order that I think are going to perform well, and then we just get to watch it. Everything's already been decided at this point. You could actually skip through it if you didn't want to watch it, but if you're just starting, I highly recommend watching to see why you won or didn't win or whatever the case is. So we've got some summoners. So what I chose first was a summoner. I chose my lord down here, and that provides provides a modification for every one of my cards. So in this case, it gives them all thorns, which means when they get hit by a melee attack, they're going to take some extra damage. See, like that was a melee attack right there. He hit my card, he received damage back to him. And we're actually going to get a win here as we pull up that. And then, so this is the results screen where it shows what we earned. So I got points here towards getting my next chest. That I'll unlock rewards. And then this is the governance token right here. So I got 4 SPS, which is right now worth, I think it's what, 5.5 cents. So, I mean, it's a little over 20 cents, 23 cents or something there for that win. So, and that's kind of what a battle looks like. Again, looking at the first time, it can be very overwhelming because there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of different abilities that you saw out there. And there's a time limit, so it's hard to go through it all. But when you first start out in bronze, cards only have one or two abilities. Some don't have any abilities, and it's more about stats. So it kind of eases you into the game a little bit more without having to worry about all of those. But once you get up to the high leagues, the game really opens up, and there's so many different combinations you can play with all of these abilities, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you're using major tactics. If you're actually in the middle of a tournament, you're going to be playing a little bit of a different game than you are just doing a quick battle like you were doing just now, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's, again, a lot of people think, oh, this is an auto battle, or an auto battlers don't have don't have a ton of strategy or that type of thing. But literally every single battle is different because you can have, I mean, you've got all these different battle conditions. Like in that one, every card had poison. So that's why in between rounds, all these cards were getting poisoned that does extra damage, different elements available, different mana caps. So it's every single time you're going in and making a different decision. And like I said earlier, that's where it does help to have a lot of cards because that gives you more options to try and meet the battle conditions. But as you can see, you're only playing 7 cards at a time. So it's not like you really need to have hundreds of cards to do well.
Are you able to show your deck or is that something you like to?
Yeah, I mean, we can go over here to cards and this is all, I mean, it's all on blockchain. So it's open. Anybody could go come in here and type my name and sort through and look through what I've got. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton of cards. If we scroll down, like this is even just the fire element as I scroll down through all these cards.
I wanted people to see like the graphics behind the cards too, as well, because I mean, they look so nice. Like,
and it's amazing how far the artwork has come. Because like, let's go look at like, here's the alpha. This is what they started at. And the alpha cards are kind of cool and everything, having the original. Yeah. It's kind of like the original like Pokemon cards or whatever. There's certainly a lot of value to them. But if we look at like what the original artwork was right here, I mean, it's not like it's bad or anything, but that's what an original card looked like. And then now we're getting into the Chaos cards, and the Rift Watcher set is coming out here very, very soon. They're actually announcing on, what is it, September 5th? So September 6th, they're announcing details on the next set that's coming out. But as we get to like, here's some of the, I was going to go to Chaos. I can't sort my Chaos only there, but even some of the newer cards, like this is one of the latest cards that came out with Chrome, and the artwork, at least in my opinion, is just taken up to a different level now, as you can see that. And every card has its own lore. They've got a ton of lore. Like for those of you who like to get into the story behind everything, it's been about every week they release a new lore story. Just the lore just on this set alone for Chaos Legion, I think somebody combined them all and put it into a book or like a format, and it's like 350 pages now or something.
Oh wow.
So it's almost been like comic book, like they're written stories, or they've actually got audio recordings of them as well, but it's almost like that comic book type format where like every week there's a new issue that comes out, or every month there's a new issue that's comes out, and each one's just kind of a short story, but they all combine together to tell a much bigger story. So the lore behind it's all really cool and stuff too.
Well, and what's the easiest way for people to start talking to the community? I heard you mention Discord. Is that probably the easiest way to really communicate with everyone, or?
Yeah, Discord's kind of our central hub where we have most of the main communication going on. I mean, we are in Telegram, Reddit, those types of things. But if you have Discord, that's going to be the best way. Come into our Discord, and you can start chatting with us. You'll definitely find me there. That's one of my primary jobs is running the Discord.
Oh, okay, nice, perfect. Well, thank you so much. Like just experiencing the actual gameplay and seeing the graphics and stuff just speaks volumes about what's being built. And of course, like you mentioned, there's going to be a new deck of cards coming soon. It looks like you mentioned, I seen the rental part on here where you could rent the cards. It's probably, do you have like auctions and different things as well, or?
There's not necessarily auctions. And here I am on the tournament screen. I thought I would show this because this is pretty cool. Like this prize awarded is based on the value at the time the account was created. We're over $6 million in prizes given out through tournaments. Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. But like, no, like if you want to rent a card here, and I'll show you how cool this is and how good of a deal it could be to start playing. Like if we look at some of the most powerful cards in the game are like, let's go to these legendary summoners here. Legendary summoners, like a lot of people would say Kitties, one of the best cards in the game as far as performance. You can see it's a pretty expensive card. Like if you're just buying a level one card, it's $309. It's out of print, so you can't pull it in packs anymore unless you buy some of the leftover secondary packs. So this is from the set before Chaos, so it can be pretty expensive. But if you come here to rent, you can actually go rent this card for 11 DEC here. I'll convert it to credits here. it pops up. So this is so seven credits. That's 0.7. I've got my math right. I think that's now I'm on the spot here trying to do math. But no, I think that's like 0.7 cents a day.
Well, that's cheap. That's like super cheap.
So yeah, even if you don't have those most powerful cards, you can hop in and rent for pretty cheap. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that is right, 0.7 cents.
And is there like a limit to how long you can keep the card for? Is it only a day or?
So when you rent for a minimum time of 2 days, and then every 24 hours, it's up to the person renting the card and the person renting it. So basically both have to agree. But at any time, the owner can come in and cancel the card. And then it's done in periods of 24 hours. So again, minimum of 48 hours, but then it's a 24-hour window. So like if they go in and cancel it, then once that remaining 24 hours is up, the card will come back to the owner.
And obviously, like looking at this, like the levels and stuff you're discussing, you can actually level up the cards as well.
Yeah, so by combining cards. So like here, this is a legendary card. So this is one of the simplest ones to see. So if you get three of these kitty cards, you can then combine them together and you'll get a level 2. And the advantage of, the level system does get a little complicated. The advantage of summoners is that you can play higher level monsters underneath it. So the summoners don't themselves gain new abilities or anything, but they allow you to play new monsters. Like let's go over to a monster card here. Real quick, let's get off of summoners, and like we'll come over to one again. I know you guys aren't necessarily going to know what these all do, but if we look at Magnor here, you can see that at level 1 it just has one ability. This is a taunt ability that forces cards to attack that card, kind of like you'd see a taunt in any other type of game. And then every time you level it up, it gets better stats and it gains some abilities as well. So once you get three of them, you can combine them into one level 2. You get 6, you can combine it to one level 3, and the cards just keep getting more powerful. And that gives it that kind of deflationary mechanic for cards as well. Because when we've got all these, sell all these packs and we put all these cards on the market, and basically every time a sale or a set has come out, everybody always says, oh, there's too many cards or whatever the case. But then once people start combining them together, it burns those cards. You have to use 11 cards to max out the Magnor. So as we get more players and as people combine these cards together, the amount in circulation continues to decrease over time. So and then those can, at least so far, have continued to add value.
That's a built-in burn mechanism when you're leveling the cards itself.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And is there, you mentioned buying packs and stuff. Is there like a page you can go to where you buy?
Oh, that's open. So yes, we have right now what's in stock is Chaos Legion packs. So there are going to be, the way the game's designed, they, and again, it's always hard for them to predict this, but they essentially want about one main set a year to come out. I said we've got a new one coming out here very soon. That's going to be, it's basically like an expansion pack to this. It's one of the mini sets, but our main set is Chaos Legion. There will be 15 million packs of those available. We sold through, we're approaching 10 million, so we're about 2/3 of the way through. And as we sell through more packs, we actually unlock airdrop cards, unlock new summoners. And so when an airdrop card comes, they will, like when we hit 10 million packs, there's going to be, it's Conquer Yasek that's coming next, will be in the game, and that will be airdrop to players who have purchased previous packs, or you'll have a chance to receive an airdrop. So that's part, it's pretty cool. As we're approaching this next milestone, people are getting excited because these are some of the more powerful cards in the game that get airdropped. And yeah, so there's going to be some hype usually towards the end of a milestone. Like these next few days will, if history repeats itself, again, we can't predict the future, but if history repeats itself, we'll probably sell through these pretty quick as people try to get in their last buys before Yasa gets here. And then it's fun having a new powerful card in the game.
No doubt. If you get that chance of getting one of those drops, you'll be super happy, I bet, as well.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And then they've got a chance to be gold. So there's gold foil cards as well that I didn't even mention. I don't have a lot of gold foil cards. I've wanted to collect one of the regular foils first before I start adding gold foils. But gold foils will give like bonus earnings. They give bonus power, which is used to help climb through leagues. So gold foils can have some advantage there as well. They're not any stronger on the battlefield, but they give like earnings bonuses and things like that when you win with them.
Oh, I forgot to ask too as well. So when the season resets, does your actual ranking kind of reset as well?
Yes, it does. You fall back approximately a full league. So that's where, like, here we can go see the leagues. We just had this season just ended yesterday. So that's what just happened. So like I'm in Diamond right now. I was a champion at the end of the season. And then you kind of, you don't fall all the way back to the beginning, but you fall back kind of a full week. So like now I'm in Diamond. But you'll fall back and then have to climb your way back up to try and earn those rewards again. So that's why I mentioned when you first start, sometimes it can be hard. Cause like if you're joining the game now, like all these players who are at the top of bronze one now fall back and they're down in bronze three or whatever the case is. So especially if you're joining at the beginning of the season and you're fighting these players who just fell back in ranking. So they're really a lot stronger. But they've maybe even got a little more experience or built up a little more cards than you until they kind of climb out of the basement. You can be fighting some of those players. So that can make it tough sometimes, but as long as you're paying attention to what they're doing, it's a good learning experience too.
Oh, for sure. That will get you ready for the next level once you get to the silver, right? So it's definitely probably important to have that experience anyways if the league gets reset and you need to learn how to do it. That's a perfect way to do it. Play against more competitive players and gain that knowledge. So well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bulldog. I appreciate you taking the time to show everything and show the graphics. Like I personally haven't took the chance to look at all the graphics and stuff. And I know for myself, I'm going to definitely be looking at some of this stuff and hopping into Discord and actually giving it a try for myself, just seeing it because it reminds me of some of the other games I played in the past. So I'm definitely going to be looking into that. And thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I actually forgot. I just got, do you want to see a pack opened up?
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
I do need to go buy it, but I think I just got some guild rewards. I do. Let me go buy one right here. So these are actually special cards that are for guild battles only. So guilds will have fights that work the exact same way. But you basically match up, guilds will match players against each other. You can have up to 10 guilds competing in a single order called brawls. And so then if we're matched up against 10 other guilds, I will play one member from each of the other 9 guilds. And then you just add up the total records for everybody to see which guild won. And these are some rewards and you get some cards that can only be used in those guild brawls. So we'll open up one right now. It's kind of cool to see these packs open and it gets so addicting trying to open these up and seeing what you get.
Well, it's totally random, right? You don't
really. Yep. Absolutely random. So and then you can come just kind of flip them over. Like this is an epic. We just pulled an epic on here, so that was pretty cool. It's a fairly rare thing to do. So each pack, any of the packs, you're guaranteed at least one rare. So we got one rare and one epic, so that wasn't a bad pull at all. And then I'll have to go look and see if I can combine any of those or anything like that, but that's what opening a pack looks like.
That's awesome. And that just gives people the idea. So if you're in a guild or anything like that, that gives you the benefit of earning some prizes as well as doing the battles on top of it. So it's a win-win kind of to be in a guild as well.
Yeah. And right now the prizes are basically just being able to get more of those guild cards that I just showed you right there. Coming here very, very soon is you're going to be able to earn the governance token. SPS is going to be distributed through those guild brawls as well. So those of us who have been playing Brawls previously just because we enjoyed it and we will unlock these cards, we're all super excited because we've got some of these more powerful cards. These Gladiator cards are very, very powerful. And so we've kind of been leveling these up and now we're about to be able to actually earn SPS, which has real value there. So I'm excited for that to come. But no, I mean, there are different benefits to being in the guild, including like extra earnings. So if we come, I think it's in the lodge here. I don't know if that's the shop. See, I don't know where everything's at.
No worries, no problem.
Wait, what, did I get it wrong?
I think.
Anyways, there's a DEC bonus, or there's a bonus to battles too.
Rewards 1 point.
So that's for the crowns. I apparently missed it.
Maybe the barons.
Oh well.
No worries.
I got pressure on camera apparently. Oh no, it's RP bonus. I used to say DEC bonus because we gave out. So I was at the right spot. It used to be DEC that was given out in battles, and they changed that to SPS, to the governance token. But so this is basically a bonus to your earnings. So if you're in a maxed out guild, you can get plus 20% to those points that you're earning.
Well, that's huge.
And gain extra rewards that way. So yeah, there are benefits to building up those guild lodges and arenas and all of that. And you can, like, I mean, as we go through some of the others, like when you upgrade these are different advantages you can get for playing in brawls. Like being able to ban other cards that the other teams can't use or things like that. So there's a lot of fun tactics in there.
So, well, thank you for showing that as well. That gives us a really good example of what to expect in game and what to look at. And then as well, we mentioned the Discord. So you guys watch out for that. I'll make sure to put that in a link down below in the description of the video. So anybody that's interested, we'll have the link to Splinterlands and the link to the Discord as well. So people can look at that and, you know, thank you. Like, this is more than as expected, and it really gives people an idea of what it's about and the different styles. So, I mean, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thanks for having me. I love coming to do anything to talk Splinterlands. So
no worries. And we'll maybe get you in again another time, maybe after this new pack comes out. Maybe there's going to be some cool stuff that you can show off, and that would always be awesome.
Oh, on, like I said, on the 6th, September 6th, they are announcing not only some new stuff for the new packs, but there's going to be, like, Splinterlands is launching a new game, a tower defense game that's going to be within the Splinterlands ecosystem. And we're hoping, I don't know what all they're gonna be announcing and everything, but we're hoping to have more details on that on the 6th. And there's supposed to be like a pre-sale coming for that. So I think the game's still a few months off, but we should start to see some info on it. So that's going to be exciting as well, to get even a different genre of game here in the Splinterlands ecosystem.
Awesome. Well, we're down to the last minute now, so I appreciate that. And you guys watch for the tower game. That's another thing that we're going to keep an eye out for. And when that comes out, maybe we'll get you back on. Thank you so much, Bulldog. We appreciate
it. Awesome. Thanks a ton for having me.
All right. You have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.
Thank you as well.
Okay, bye for now.